Hi, everybody. How is your day today?
Are you asking us or the audience, and you're expecting an answer from
the audience?
You know,
the audience is not Mike.
You got it. Sorry. Well, no, I was asked. Oh, they're not?
Well, since when do you call me and JB everybody?
Yeah.
No, I call you guys the audience.
Because you think that's the only people listening to you is just us two?
Yeah.
You've got higher responsibilities than that. Let's come with the good stuff.
Judging by this opening, we're up to it's going to be a great Smartless. Welcome to it.
Smart.
Sean, what's on your cap there? Is that a college?
It's ISU, Illinois State University, where I have an honorary doctorate and a scholarship fund set up for people who want to go into music or the arts and, acting. And theater.
Are they still accredited? I mean, after the, you got a diploma. I heard that after they give you a diploma that they were stripped of their power.
That sounds like a real is that an online university?
I still wear my sash to bed.
Once they did an assessment of your intellect, they're like, we gave this guy a fucking diploma.
Did you really go to ISU?
I went to Illinois State University. Yeah, it's one of the greatest colleges ever.
Okay.
Well, hang on. Let's quickly Google that.
Let's see how
because
much
I don't think you're going to like
for
the
theater.
Result.
For theater. By the way, you know who went there? Me, Jane Lynch, Craig Robinson, and I were music majors together.
We know.
I know.
We've had him on the podcast.
I know. We talked about that.
We talked about it for like half an hour.
Hey, Arnett, where'd you go to school?
I didn't. I dropped out, man.
No, but you did go.
You went to boarding school.
You know where I went? I went to fucking Hard Knocks, dude.
Oh, bro.
The streets.
The Hard Knock Life with Annie.
Of Toronto.
Yeah.
The streets of Toronto.
Did you go? You went to.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. You went to additional voluntary school?
I did for half a year. Half a year. I know. I love that you call it just additional voluntary.
No, actually, I should invert that. Voluntary additional school. And I just didn't understand the concept of that, you know?
I mean,
I now have an option to not go, so taking that option.
Sure.
Got a good joke?
Yeah, sure. Love one.
Just jump in. I didn't realize that you were grabbing the reins here. We were just merrily going down a path, but.
Let's talk more about your school.
Let's just go fucking. Okay.
Let's talk more about your school.
I didn't go.
No, let's not.
Here we go. Ready? The best gift I ever received was a broken drum. You can't beat it.
Okay. That's all right. That's okay. He doesn't claim these to be great jokes.
Oh, they're dad jokes. I got a couple laughs in the background there.
You should say, do you want to hear a dad joke? If you say people are ready for something good. Dad joke means it's not
I don't like the
good.
Term dad joke. I think that's lazy to call it a
How
dad joke.
How about bad joke? Just say bad joke so people aren't expecting to
or
laugh.
Or like a pun.
Yeah.
That's okay to say.
I got one more. You got one more?
Are there any mom jokes?
Here's a mom joke. What's faster, hot or cold? Hot. You can always catch a cold.
That's good. That's good.
Not bad.
That's pretty good. I guarantee you at least one of our listeners will be using that today after they get out of their car.
Of course.
Or off their subway or done with their jog.
Right.
You know? It's fun. You're welcome.
I love Jason trying to imagine what regular people do. It's so fun.
I know.
Get on the subway and then they jog. And then they kiss their kids goodbye, walk outdoor, go to job, say hi, boss, office.
Want to hear a joke
at water cooler with me. I love Succession too. And
what are you watching?
I'm also watching Succession. Are you watching it? I am also worried about saying that I don't like it. You're worried that you're saying I do like it. I'm just making the joke.
Real good opening patter, everybody.
Did everybody sleep well? I slept really well.
Patter's over. Let's get to our high-level guest. Okay?
I slept really good, though.
Did you? For the first time? Actually, that is worth a derail.
You want to talk to us about your sleep? The guest is not going to wait for your sleep report.
Well, it's very rare that he has good sleep. Before we get into it, it is true, Sean, and I'm happy for you, and there's nobody. We talk about it all the time.
Right.
Sean, yesterday morning, JB, Sean, I said to him, hey, you got a second? Let me know when you got a second. Like 7. I'm up at 6. I said, let me know when you got a second.
It was like 7.
It was at 7. He calls me. And I go, and I thought that he was back. You know his usual thing. He wakes up in the middle of the night, and then he goes back to bed at 6:30 until 10 is whatever.
Yeah.
And he was up, and he'd been up since 3:30.
3:30.
He's been on a bad run of not being able to sleep. So
I slept all through the night. I got up to pee, and I went right back to sleep.
And why do you think that is? Did you load up on a bunch of sugar before you went to bed?
I did a little bit, but because of yesterday, I think that what Will's talking about, I think I ran myself around in circles like a little child, being up at 3:30, and then I just crashed, and it made me sleep all night long. It was awesome.
You nap.
Boy, what a fucking story.
I'll nap like 10. I'll nap like 10 minutes. Anyway, so
good that we stopped for that. You were right, Will. Silly me. So today's guest is so immensely accomplished.
We're going to see Bateman's face. What a fucking story.
I mean, God, who else slept through the whole night? Make sure you call in. Our lines are open. And love to hear about it. So our next guest is so accomplished and so universally loved. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's done everything. Mm-hmm. He's done television, film, theater.
Wow.
He's even got a Grammy, I believe.
That's a lot.
It's been comedy. It's been drama. It's been popcorn movies. It's been Academy movies. I just don't know what else to say about this fella, except he's a new friend.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. We met online. And he is also a Capricorn. And no, he is a new friend that I'm very excited about. He swings a mean golf club.
Oof. Oh, I thought you were going to say both. That you, the way that started was he swings.
Okay. I know. I was like, uh-oh, what?
He'll take you where you want to go on the weekends, okay? Well, yeah, that's okay. What I'm saying. But listen, I love him. He's here. Very kind of him to say yes, because this is a big shot. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Don Cheadle. Hello,
oh,
Don.
I love Don Cheadle.
People. Uh-huh. What's happening?
Good Mr. morning.
Don.
Don Cheadle's done
you know what
everything.
I was trying to remember, Don? What is that great nickname that you were given because you're so smooth? I couldn't remember it. You told me this on the golf
course.
What
was it?
I think Kelly Slater said that was very nonchalant.
Yeah.
Ah, nonchalant.
Is that a new
nickname? That's really clever.
I'm trying to put it out there. You know, I was going to try to trademark it, but I was unsuccessful.
Donchalant is out there now. Just FYI, it's fully out there. And if you happen to run into Don Cheadle on the streets, just immediately Don Chalant.
Yeah.
Let him know.
Mr. Chalant.
You can single gun it or double gun it. I don't
know.
Don.
Don Cheadle, hi.
Good morning.
What's up, gang?
I love Don Cheadle.
You know, the team was like, you've got to do these guys' podcast. You're going to love them. I love all of you individually and collectively. Not as much when sure. I sat through
yeah,
the banter, the early
it's
kinda, banter.
It's like remember the joy that the Regis and Kathy Lee used to give you with that with that first 10 minutes of,
sure.
of coffee patter,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we're
yeah.
reaching for, Don. You know,
no,
we're
it was
on
a
our
strong,
way.
It was a strong 6 minutes.
Don, where are we finding you right now? Because and the reason I ask is because you look like you're either coming from or going to the golf course because you're wearing a zip up. But I want to say. Which is surprising because you're so busy and rightfully so, because you fit in that category for me too, of people who are always good no matter what the project is.
Yeah.
You're so consistently awesome all the time. In
Wait
your work.
Till you see this one.
Well,
it's going to take that down.
I don't know.
Scotty
but
and
I
just. I
appreciate that.
Yeah, Scotty and I just watched just last week, not even knowing obviously that you were going to be on because you're Jason's guest, we watched Mission to Mars.
I was in there.
And I was like, there's Don again. And you're brilliant in it.
Always.
Yeah.
Always brilliant.
Because you know I'll watch anything sci-fi.
I am picking up on surprise in Sean's voice, though. Right? When he says, and you're brilliant.
It was like,
no.
You were pretty good.
No.
No, I meant to Will's point.
I didn't know you were an actor.
You're
and that you could grow facial hair. I thought it was only Jason who could do that.
Oh, this is not really facial hair. This is disgusting.
No, it was great. You're
so,
great.
Don.
I'm in Atlanta, Will, to answer your question. I'm in Atlanta.
You're in Atlanta.
And what's happening there in Atlanta? Working on something, no doubt?
I am working on something. It's a project called Fight Night. And I am in this wonderful project with who you guys had on the show, Kevin Hart. Sam Jackson, Taraji Henson, Terrence Howard.
Wow.
Yeah, it's it should be. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I've shot one day, so I'm looking forward to.
So you can still be fired. They can still easily reshoot one day.
Yeah, it's early enough.
Yeah, so watch it.
I've been replaced before. It wouldn't be the first time. No.
Have you?
No.
I've been replaced before.
Oh,
I have.
I didn't mean to bring up something painful.
I love that Don's like, no, I haven't. Nope, sorry, I was just kidding.
Of course not.
Why do you think I'm on your show? mine was the cruelest, though, because I worked my nards off on this pilot. We shot the pilot. It went well, so I thought. And then, like, a couple of days before the big announcements happen about whether pilots are going to get picked up to go to series, I get a call from my agent saying, good news, bad news. Good news is the show got picked up. And I said, unbelievable. He goes, here, let me finish. The bad news is that they're going to go a different direction with your character. And I said, okay. 2 days later, found out they're actually not picking up the show. So it's just like the worst 48 hours.
So good,
right?
Bad, good.
Well,
good,
but
I agree with Don.
I could have been spared all of it by just them saying, well, we're not picking up the show. Basically, we're all fired, you know?
But are you still with this agent?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Exactly. No. That's 3 or 4
but
ago.
But it's good to know. I like it is personal a little bit because they were like, hey, we know the show's not getting picked up, but let's let Bateman know that even if
teeth.
It did, he wasn't coming away.
Yeah.
In the event that this is going forward, not you.
I've been fired, too. I got fired off a pilot that went to series the year before we started Arrested Development.
Oh, God bless.
And had I not been, I would have been stuck on that show. Mm-hmm. Don, wait a second. So you're in Atlanta. You're doing this thing with Sam Jackson. Are you potentially playing golf with Sam today?
You know, Sam has been on IR for a minute. I hope he comes off because I would love to. You know, we used to play a lot, but
what's IR?
He's nursing an injury or two.
Injury
so
reserve.
Fingers crossed.
How's his game?
Sam was like a 4.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Wow.
There's all these people. The game is just so easy to so many people.
Well, you know, Sam famously, you know, whenever he would get a gig, a part of his contract was they had to get him a membership to whatever local course there was because he's such a freak about it.
Oh, really? No shit?
Yeah, he played everywhere. I was like, you can do that? Sam also was, you know, Mr. If you force me, you're bringing me $900 in cash in an envelope the next day like a drug dealer. I was like, This dude's my hero.
Yeah, that's
by the
good.
Way, Jason. Jason, right now, you see, you look down. He's just gone on his phone on speed dial to CAA right now. He's like, what the fuck?
What are you guys? About 12 country clubs short. Damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, how do you like Atlanta? I've worked there a lot, and I always thought that it was not going to be a place for me. And every time I work there, I just love it more and more and more. Are you enjoying yourself there? You've worked there a bunch, yes?
I've worked here a bunch because a lot of the Marvel stuff was here.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And I've kind of been around it a little bit more. But this is probably the longest stretch that I'm going to be here, so I'm looking forward to like getting up to the mountains and going to the lakes and just checking it all out.
So I did a movie there a long time ago in Atlanta during the summer. Did you guys shoot all those Marvel movies in like the summertime? Because you can't breathe. It's so hot.
Hot Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you, you're in those costumes and running around in that heat. Is that what it is?
And you're in space.
I mean, I think that was there's a callback. Good one.
No, but I mean, isn't that brutal?
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, I was, you know, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, where, you know, 98 degrees and 98% humidity. So I was born for this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's not fun. But right now it's very cold, actually.
Yeah, it gets cold there. I like it too. I like JB. I spent the last few years I spent 6 months, I think, almost in Atlanta. Whoa. And I really liked it. I really liked the people. Once you find a kind of a good zone where you find your stuff and whatever, I liked it a lot.
You gotta find a zone.
But I was down in right near sort of Little Five Points, like all in there. Like that's where I was staying. It was awesome. A lot of great like restaurants and
Okay.
So Jason, have you had enough?
Yeah, that's
you
enough.
Opened
so
it.
Sorry. It's like
you opened it. This is like the fucking court case.
How is
you.
Your, Good sleep last night, Don?
You know, what's hilarious when Sean was talking about that is I was very jealous because I did not sleep well last night.
That's what I'm saying.
I had
the worst episode we've ever recorded. Right, we're 17
from,
minutes.
From what I did, from what
no, it's all my fault. All my fault. I'm talking about fucking Atlanta. We're talking about the weather. We're talking about sleep. It's like let's get to something hard hitting. Now, somebody told me the other day that Kansas City,
here we go.
Kansas City is actually split right down the middle, the border between Kansas and Missouri.
You
and
still don't have it, City, JKB. You still don't
is,
have it.
Yeah,
no, you still haven't got it.
That's a whiff.
No.
No,
well, help me, no. People.
No. There's one in Kansas, and there's a Kansas City in Missouri. Okay. They're in two different. I mean, they're close.
Wait, there's two different places called Kansas City.
Oh my god!
No, honestly,
I know.
Dude, Don's about to leave.
Don, this is every day. By the way,
this is how it goes.
I'm 54 years old, and this is. I'm just now getting clarity on this. Let's do it publicly. There are two places called Kansas City. One's in Missouri, one's in Kansas?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And which one's got
there
the Chiefs?
There is a border.
Which one's got the Royals?
Missouri's
got what?
Let me just say this. Don, take a look at JB's face. Yeah. Now, JB, walk Don through the gummy routine. This is going to explain a lot. Walk him through the timing and the
guys,
amount.
Guys, I'm still up. I'm still up from last night's chew. No, now,
we talked
about
this a little bit on the golf course.
I don't remember.
Case. I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you don't remember because your gummy program. Is
no, never, exactly. Never when I'm golfing. Golfing's serious business.
You said that.
Now, wait a second. What sports team does Kansas City, Kansas,
oh my God,
have? The Royals?
He's still, God. He's here.
Is it the Royals?
Dude, it's crazy.
No, honestly. Is it the Royals? Are in
no,
Kansas
that's
City?
Also
do you
Missouri.
Ask Siri? Do we want to just ask, go to like the
so
interwebs?
Kansas City, Kansas has nothing. Is that correct?
Yeah.
No sports teams. No professional sports teams.
Yeah, man.
I'll let
it
rest
let's
now.
Just look it up. Now.
Okay. I
and
hope
then
we get a
I mean,
bunch.
No,
honestly,
look, they're all
you
looking
right.
It up, America.
I've never looked into it this deeply. You might be absolutely right. I just
I
know
I
have always
he's not right.
The Chiefs.
He's not right. No,
I
you're
think Kansas
right.
City,
you're
Kansas
there.
Has the Royals.
Are there any sports teams in Kansas City, Kansas?
Oh, I'm so sorry, America. And specifically,
Kansas City has had teams in all five of the major professional sports leagues. Three major leagues remain today.
Is that Missouri or is that Kansas?
That's Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay.
Wait, who's in Kansas City, Kansas?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Boy, this is, again.
No, this is Kansas City.
We're going to pick this up. Hey, Don, how'd you get started in the business?
Yeah, no. I want to know.
JB,
so,
fuck you. You have Abbott.
I was...
I want to know that.
A little porn called Don Shalantas.
No, I do want to know because to me, I've seen you in so many things. And like Will said, always brilliant. Like, to me, you were born on screen. Like, I don't know anything about you other than the
I was times, born on screen.
Yeah. Other than we run into each other a few times and had lovely conversations. But tell me, how did you get, like, you were in theater in high school?
Well, sidebar, we played around with doing a movie together at one point.
I know.
Remember. I don't
I remember
know if you
that.
Ever got that off.
I did. It didn't
did
do
that, yeah. Did you get it off?
Yeah, it didn't do well. But thank you for your consideration.
Okay. Next subject.
Oh. Yes, yes.
Way to dodge a bullet, Don.
I was trying to give a compliment and went right in the trash bin.
You ducked one there.
No, but were you interested in high school? Like what age, how early did you get the bug?
So I kind of got the early acting bug. I think I was in sixth grade. I was Templeton the Rat in a production of Charlotte's Web that was written about extensively in the Denver, Colorado periodicals. You can look it up. I'm sure it's still
sure,
there.
Sure, no. I don't have time.
Templeton
and I was
the
singled
rat.
Out. I'm not. I was. I'm just saying I was singled out. So
the standout was the rat.
Yeah. And when Cheadle hits the stage, hold on to your so I did that, but I was also doing music kind of at the same time. That's when I got involved in playing my saxophone and instrumental jazz and so I kind of was on these two tracks of really studying music. And when I went to high school, I had a great acting coach, a great acting teacher, a great drama class, and I was in a really good jazz band. So I was kind of on these two tracks. And when I graduated from high school, I had applied for both things, to go into music, to go into vocal jazz, to go into instrumental jazz, and also to study acting and theater acting.
That's cool.
And I got some scholarship money from a bunch of different places, and I kind of made...
For acting or music or both?
Both. I had both.
Wow.
But I kind of made not only a weather choice, but I think I made a choice based on what I believed I was going to be able to actually do. Because I grew up with musicians now who are like professional musicians and who are hugely successful and incredible. And I knew what it was going to take to actually be able to do that, go down that road and, you know, shedding and learning theory and doing all of those things that I was like, I know I'm not going to do that.
And
I think I'm probably going to spend my time more being out of the house, being with other people and pursuing acting. And I loved it equally. So I kind of went up that road. But
yeah, there's definitely science and math to music that you have to want to.
And I think I was intimidated by it a little bit, to be honest. I think I was a little, you know, I'd gotten by, I had really good ear and I'd gotten by on really being able to hear music rather than understanding how it broke down. And I would kind of wide-eye when I'd get into the weeds on that. Yeah. So
I get that.
It's like I kind of ran to something that I felt more comfortable with. But it's funny that the music has kind of come back around, and that's become a bigger part of my career now, too.
But, Don, did you ever, and Sean, forgive me for taking your question, but did you ever think about, you know, kind of like when that guy dropped the chocolate in the tub of peanut butter and they came up with the Reese's, did you ever think of taking the music and dumping that into the theater and going into musical theater, Sean? 5, 6, 7, 8. Did you ever get into that stuff?
Oh, he sure did. Let's talk about the Tonys. Go ahead.
Oh.
Well, I've never gotten one. But I did produce the Tony award-winning show called Strange Loop.
Oh my God. Cool. That's right. Yeah. With Barbara Whitman.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And she produced the play I just did. That's right.
Yeah.
Congrats on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Crazy, great show.
But did you yourself, were you yourself at like in high school or afterwards in college?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. 100%. I mean, when I graduated high school, the choice I made was to I came to California and I studied at California Institute of the Arts.
Mm.
And we, you know, did everything there. Musicals and dramas and classical pieces. We did everything. It was really a great experience for me and a place to be able to try everything and make a lot of mistakes and you know, not get fired for it as a result.
Get ready because I love horrible theater stories, things that go wrong. So just get one ready.
Oh, yeah. They're the best. You can't wait.
Before we get to one of those, can you guys extend your tolerance for my lack of intelligence again? I
mean, is Kansas City, are you going to go to the Chiefs and the Royals again?
It's worn pretty thin at this point. It's stretched very,
yeah,
very
don't
thin.
Bring that
so
back.
If I'm on the border between... No. And we will be right back.
And now back to the show.
So jazz, talk to me about jazz. Now I'm a big music fan and specifically classical music. And so I feel like if I love classical music, I could really love jazz because it's a little easier to love. It's a little bit more toe-tappy, but I got to understand it a little bit more. And I'm hearing that jazz, its real appeal is knowing that for the most part, it's improvised. Is that correct, or is it more traditionally written out and there's sheet music for it?
That is a component of it. And I think the umbrella of jazz under that are many, many subdivisions and categories. Mm-hmm. It's a huge sort of a blanket term, especially by now.
Okay.
You know, if you think of somebody like Robert Glasper, who I won a Grammy with for producing the...
Uh-huh.
Dude, Miles Ahead. Anyway.
Sorry, your cough sounds terrible. Your cough sounds really
bad. My second Grammy. Sorry.
You got a really terrible cough.
Yeah. Thanks, Will. Let me get a little water here.
Wait, are you close to an EGOT?
Two Grammys.
Oh, now it's clear. Your throat's clear now.
I want to get that looked at.
Okay, that's good now.
Do you have a nomination EGOT? I think you do. Yes?
I have a nomination EGOT, yes, but not.
Wow.
I don't have them all.
Pretty fucking good.
But like Rob Glasper, you look at his music and he spans the globe of what his musical knowledge is and his experience.
Yeah.
And he does popular stuff, black radio, which is sort of, I think you would think of more as like R&B influenced. And then he does straight ahead, you know, jazz, some standards, and he does everything in between. So I think if you were to ask a musician like that what jazz is, Or even if you were going to go back and ask, you know, Miles Davis what jazz was, he hated that word. He was like, that's a word to box somebody in. You know, it's about good music. It's about social music. So I think there are different, like when I get in the car and, you know, the driver taking you somewhere is like, let's put on some jazz. And he puts on smooth jazz. It's like, I want to shoot him. I hate
Don,
you have to, Don, you have to forgive Jason because they don't do explanations of jazz on the Hollywood Reporter homepage. So he wouldn't read it. But let me just say this. We did this bit in our show, Flake. Nothing, huh? Okay, so this guy's getting ready to have this girl over for a date, his buddy suggests he put jazz on, and they look at each other and they're like, and they're unsure, and he goes, I'm not sure where I fall on jazz, and our joke was always that, like, I can't figure out if it's cool to say I do like it or if it's cool to say I don't like it. And I'm still trying to decide where I land on that.
Right? Me too. Like, I just feel like everyone says you should go to New Orleans for the jazz festival or everyone you should listen to.
And that's a very specific kind of jazz.
Yeah. Right. I'm more like, I'm open to it if there's a melody that I can hum back, like a song. Right. I'm not open to the
fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
The jazz that's just people just playing
sort of fusion-y, improvised fusion is that?
Yeah,
that
I
even
can't
be
latch on to anything.
You can't whack off to anything.
Wait, what? What did he say?
I love it all because if you're really, you know, if you're
jazz, you can whack to. Sorry,
jazz.
No, latch on to.
Grab your thing and have some fun.
Yeah,
new channel.
JB, you heard it. JB, you heard it too, right?
The same I think I might have. Yeah. But so Don, you're learning the saxophone at an early age. That gets you into music. That's you find an appreciation for Miles Davis, and then that project comes about. That was a documentary that you produced or
no. A movie.
A film. Yeah. You played him? Yes?
Yes.
We're not good journalists.
Brilliantly. And I remember you telling me when I ran into you, you were working on that. You were so
some nominations or even some wins for that, I believe.
Well, that was the Grammy that we got for the soundtrack, which is really cool. The album we put together with Rob Glasper. He and I put that together. So that was really cool. But I think it's a big category. You know, talk about jokes on shows. We had one on Black Monday where I'm talking to... thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Regina Dawn, her name, the character's Dawn, about it. And she goes, I can never get into jazz. It just always sounds like a bunch of instruments thrown down a flight of stairs.
in my incredible research, did you really work on The Fresh Prince?
Funny enough, I did. I was on one of the first episodes of Fresh Prince, and I have a funny pilot firing story too.
I love it.
About a pilot that didn't go. So I did I think it was the second or third episode of The Fresh Prince where Will was still super green. He's like mouthing everyone's words, you know, along with his. So he'd say his line and then be staring at you, and you'd say your line and he'd.
Yeah, he's mouthing it.
That's such a thing. We've all worked with people who do that. It's such an actor thing, right?
Yeah.
Where you're like, are you mouthing my dialogue to me as I'm saying it?
Yeah. So he was so studious. You know, he knew everybody's lines, and then he would, like, mouth everybody's lines. But so we did that one, and by the third or fourth show, the creators, Susan and Andy Borowitz, who were the head writers on the show, they said, we want to do a show around you.
Uh-oh.
Not necessarily based on the character that you're playing on this, but we just want to do a show around you. And I was like, okay, so that's cool. So they wrote this show.
Wow. How old were you?
When I did Fresh Prince?
Yeah, early 20s?
Is that really germane to the story? I mean,
is.
You're just going to
like,
come
when
in
you
with
get
the
offered
how
your
old
own show.
You?
It's like, what?
I was six. Okay, I was fucking six.
No, he's just jealous. He's just jealous because he's like, when are you getting offers for your own show? And he's like, I worked my whole life. Michael Landon didn't create a show for me. Sorry, JB. I know that.
Michael Landon. So third day, they come down. They're like, we want to do the show. I said, okay, great. So they wrote this pilot. We shot the pilot. It's called In the House. I wrote the theme song to the thing.
No, wow,
you know,
cool.
It was just, everything was great.
Heavy saxophone.
It had super, super heavy saxophone. Yeah. It was on the schedule. And I, you know, I'm pretty like, I don't believe it until I see it. And I just kind of wasn't believing that it was real. And also, it just was a huge thing. It was the biggest thing that had happened in my career at that point. I was like, I don't, something's telling me this isn't real.
Right.
But it was on the schedule. It was going. So like the day before, I got this fateful call. I gave my brother my car. I was like, hey, it's on. Take the car. I'm about to have this huge windfall.
Yeah.
I'm ready. And the next day I got a call and they said, it's off the schedule. It was how old I was Brandon Tartikoff was still running NBC at that time.
Okay.
So
we're late 80s.
For everybody, I don't know if people are listening.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Brandon. Yeah.
But when he stepped down and Warren Littlefield came in, he killed all the shows that were under Brandon.
Warren.
And that was one of them. That was one of the casualties.
You know, Sean, you told me a story and correct me if I'm wrong about, where you shot the pilot. Because they had mignonette sauce instead of cocktail sauce for your oysters. Is that true? And you guys were about to leave Van Nuys and you were so mad. You were shot. Because you're like, I hate mignonette sauce. I like cocktail sauce. And you shot the pilot and left him on the tarmac.
But I spared the co-pilot.
As a lesson, so he could live to tell the story to other pilots the sauces right.
Now, all right. So now, Don, could you imagine if that show had taken off, became a big success, you would have been a big sitcom star. I wonder where your career would have gone.
Yeah,
and what
I was thinking
happened.
The same thing.
Like, but like, even so, going back before that, was there another significant fork in the road, either where you grew up, like a fateful move to a certain city, or what your parents were doing or saying, or siblings, where you could have easily seen, oh, if I'd just simply gone right instead of left, I would be a veterinarian today, or I would be an architect today? Or was there a fork that
that's such a good question.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, it's crazy that my fallback was music. Like, if this acting thing doesn't work out, I'll be a jazz musician. That'll get me there. Yeah. It's like, so, I mean, that's where I was trending. That's what I wanted to do. And quite honestly, there's still no greater pleasure that I have, you know, in any sort of performance capacity than being with musicians and creating music.
Really,
still,
really.
That's, to me, the highest.
I love
it
that.
Is. Cool. It really is. I think because of, as you were talking about, improvisation, that you're creating things spontaneously. I don't know what it's doing biochemically to you, but I'm sure if you have electrodes on and, you know, they were testing you, you're getting dopamine hits that are just through the roof because it's just so alive.
Yeah.
And it necessitates this connection with these fellow, pardon the term, artists that you're kind of communicating without speaking, and there's a handoff and a yes and thing. You get that also in acting, but
yeah, you do. And there's also that thing you do when you perform live, when you also get that when you get that feedback from an audience when you're on stage, and you get that thing and it starts to inform you a little bit.
Yeah.
They become part of your creative process because you get juice from that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. You do.
Yeah.
And it transcends language, and it transcends, you know, the English, the Spanish. We can all speak this language. And there's a big unifying thing that it does that's just like beyond.
I had the same thing, Don. You know, I always had music to fall back on should the, you know, the acting thing, and I still have the music to fall back on if the acting thing doesn't work out. But I always thought my fallback was going to be, oh, I'll just be a pop star.
You should, well, you can sing your ass off, so had a shot.
Well, no, but
let's
but
play
when
it.
I was
can
younger,
we just play it? Could just play him a little bit of it right now? We do this every once in a while, Don. Sean.
Yeah, no.
Don, do you?
Bennett's going to find it for us. He's going to play it before Don leaves. Bennett or Rob are going to
play. Drop that needle, Bennett.
Hey, Don, do you have a place where you go? Like Woody Allen famously took his clarinet out. I don't know, once a week or whatever. And that's
Woody
not
ever.
A that
not a euphemism.
Oh, nice.
It's not a euphemism.
Right in there, Will.
But
you're the best. You're my new favorite guy on the podcast.
Do you have a place where you go whip out your sax and go play it?
Fucking hang on, man.
I just said Will got that one. You don't have to jump
on top
of
Will's
thing.
I'm trying to piggyback
thing.
On that.
Hey, you hear what I did? Jump on top of Will's thing? I'm tripling up on it. Your turn, Sean.
Uh-huh.
Get in there. Ooh, that was good too.
I'll take it off.
Like, do you have
I'll take it off.
There it is. Do you have a band that you play with or a jazz club that you go to every once in a while?
No, and I've been like bouncing around on different. So I played the sax, and then I didn't do that. When I went to CalArts, it was kind of like a conservatory. The amount of time that you had to spend on all that, there was no time really to do anything but theater and voice and movement and dance and all that stuff. So I just kind of dropped it, and then I was in New York doing a play, and I walked by a pawn shop, and I saw this beautiful tenor sax, and I was like, I'm gonna pick it back up again. I'm going to see if I have any facility because, you know, you lose your embouchure, you lose mm-hmm. that musculature to be able to play it. It's hard to get it back. So I started playing it again. And if it sounded terrible, I was like, no, just hang out, just like stay with it. So I started doing that. And then I took a gig, actually, the Rat Pack movie and playing Sammy yep. Davis Jr., who yes, uh-huh. played drums and played trumpet and, you know, yeah. gun twirled and could play piano.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. I kind of went back to school again, having lessons from all of these teachers to learn how to do all these different things.
Wow.
And that's when I started trying to pick up the trumpet, which became something that was I didn't know I was going to need later when I did the Miles Davis thing. So I've been playing bass more than anything lately mm-hmm. and piano more than anything lately.
That's great.
I haven't gone back to the sax. I bought a really beautiful brand new sax and let this dude play it. And he just recorded an album with it. And it's like, so it's always in the periphery somewhere, but I haven't, you know, I think the most amazing experience I had in musical experience in the last couple of years was Rob Glasper was at he was recording something. He said, hey, come by, come listen. And I said, yeah, keep a track open because I'm going to bring the bass and I'm just going to like, you know, kill you guys with some shit. So just keep the track open. And I was completely joking. And yeah. so I came over and I listened to him for a while and he goes, okay, here's the bass. Let's go. I said, no, I was joking. I don't want to play. He's like, oh no, you're going to play. And it became sort of like, you know, trial by fire. And I don't play like that. But when you play with great musicians, you know that yeah. they lift you up.
Yeah.
And they...
It's just like acting.
So God, I wish I could find that.
Yeah.
People I just, to lift me up. It's fucking unbelievable. I'm just dragging
you're stuck
these two.
With these guys.
Don, you seem to be like so great at surrounding your life with the things that mean, you know, have great value yeah. to you, music, acting, family. You always seem to be in a great mood too. Like,
golf.
Golf, yeah.
yeah.
No. How do you do that? How do you, for people who don't know how to do that, where they're like, I'm in this rut. Like, to us, we've all found the thing that we love to do or things we love to do.
Yeah.
How did you learn how to gravitate towards the good versus the bad? You know, the things that are good for you, the things that fill your soul.
This is rather a question. Than, this is a question. This is an interviewer, Will. This yeah. is somebody who knows how to shape a question, okay? Sorry. Go ahead, Don.
I love the commentary.
I'm just here for the pot shots from the sideline, man. You know that. Mm-hmm.
Will's killing, and you're killing the pot shots from the sideline, by the way.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Don't encourage him.
I honestly have to attribute a lot of it to my upbringing. I was very fortunate to have, and people get to it however they get to it. You know, I was very fortunate to have really solid parents. Mm-hmm. You know, really sort of, you know, corny, traditional picket fence, the 3.5 kids and a dog and the whole thing. I really was able to grow up like that with parents that never dissuaded me from going after what I wanted to go after.
That's great.
I think it was, you know, really fortunate that my mom was sort of a frustrated, you know, performer, a frustrated singer. So when I wanted to be an actor, she was like, yes, go after that.
Do you have an older? Do you have an older sibling that knocked the crap out of you when you got too big?
Yeah. Well, she's a girl, so I like took advantage of the different muscles. You know, I was stronger than her. And then we moved into weapons, and that's when it's like, oh, she's leveled the playing field, so we got to chill out, and that's when we stopped fighting.
Yeah.
But just really close knit family, and it's something I think I just wanted to replicate in my life, and I'm really lucky that, you know, I have friends from when I was in elementary school still and from college
that's
and
great.
The people
yeah,
that
same.
I'm close I to are so. Still are still in my life. And I think we all know people who have gotten to a certain place and have looked around and they don't know anybody no one that around them has been around them for 5 years. And you go, that person's probably going to have some problems. So
you
need people who will laugh at you and say, you're not important. Chill out. You
know? I don't keep those people around because people can't breathe the air up here. Yeah. The way I can.
Yeah, you're one of those people we were talking about, Will.
The air is so thin up here. It's so rarefied that I can barely. I'm handing out masks to these two because I'm like, guys, we're going on a ride. We're going somewhere.
We're going down.
No, now, it's so important. I love that. It is a measure of somebody, by the way, how many old friends they have from back in the day. And I think I'm with you on that. I think it's really great. I've got a lot of my old buddies too.
Yeah.
Now, Don, I got a question here. You've been a part of so many incredible projects. I want to know.
It's crazy.
I want to know if any of them felt or smelt like turds right in the middle of it, and you were shocked at the end of it that it turned
out
so well.
That's a good question.
Projects like Crash. Oceans 11, 12, or 13, Traffic, Out of Sight, sure. Boogie Nights. I mean, any of the Marvel stuff. Did any of them just like go, oh, Jesus, what did I do here?
I think I've had the opposite where I'm like, this thing's going to crush. And then it comes out and I'm like, ooh.
Not so much. Right.
I mean, we don't know, right? You just go in with, your best, you've made the best decision you could, and you go in and throw everything into it. And then sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But yeah. I've never, I've always believed that the thing I've said yes to has value and it's going to be good and the experiences. Yeah. And then it turns into being what it's going to be. I've been really fortunate to have really, really great experiences. I've had very few experiences where it's a toxic set and people are horrible. I've just been very, very, the things I've gravitated toward have gotten made, and I've just been very, very fortunate. I've had a very blessed career.
You've clearly got a nice connection going with Steven Soderbergh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard the set of Chernobyl was toxic.
Nice. Well,
hey,
nice. That's a great show.
You and Soderbergh have a great rhythm going. Yeah, you see working with him again in the future, probably. Yes, of course, right?
Yeah, I mean we have stuff. We're trying to develop things as we speak. There's a couple things.
I love Out of Sight. Is such a great fucking movie, man.
Isn't it good? So underrated and overlooked.
It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
God damn it. Despite Clooney's looks,
tough to get around. Soderbergh's such a beast. What a good guy, too. But, I mean, like, writing and directing and camera operating and editing, and I would imagine that's got to be an easy voice to follow, considering he's
Are you trying to dovetail into you?
What I'd like to do.
Spike it.
He served it up. You might as well spike it.
Guys, take a second.
I do want to spike it. Yeah. I'm a big Jason Bateman fan. I'm just gonna say I'm a big Jason Bateman fan, and I'm really I love everything that I'm seeing you do. And I saw you in a round table talking about, understanding as an actor what you were going to be doing as an editor, and knowing when you get into the editing room what you're going to be able to use and not use, and how you kind of craft your performance based on that. And I was like, so fucking smart and such a cheat.
It's really fun because he lives his personal life like an editor too. So he's always thinking about the results.
He's trying to cut you off. Trimming you. What Don's doing here is he's dovetailing into his accomplishments as a director as well. He's gone ahead and he's taken all the incredible set experience he's had and lent that to the directing experience, right? And made everybody's life a lot easier, I would imagine.
I'll never do it again.
Why not?
Bullshit.
I don't anticipate ever doing it again.
Why?
Well, come on. You've done it a handful of times at least. That was enough. It's really?
Why? Why?
Is it the workload or the pressure or the time commitment or what?
It's the pressure. Why? Honestly, it's the pressure. I think my agent one time said, good actors are just like, can be and sometimes need to just be hard sons of bitches. They just have to be able to, not necessarily in how they deal with people, but you have to have the ability to have stuff kind of roll off and be thick-skinned and not have it be, penetrate and keep moving. And I think I'm more like sort of bandied about by the things that happen and the things I wasn't able to get. And it's something that I'm learned about myself going through that experience. So I'm like, I'm a lot more porous in that regard than I thought I was.
Yeah, as an actor, you can ignore a lot of drama or problems or complications with the production. And you just kind of sit in your trailer and then someone else will figure it out. As a director, you can't hide from anything.
None of it.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
And back to the show.
John, you bring up a really good point, though. It is true. You know, actors, as we know, historically, you take a lot of heat. And people go like, oh, fucking actors. Or you hear people write, like, even people you grew up with, like, what's your life like now you're an actor? You see that people have this sort of thing. And I always say, and they're like, oh, yeah, but you're just an actor. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, I am an actor. I'm friends with tons of actors. They're some of the most creative, amazing people. And on top of that, to what you were saying, they're also, it is a tough road, as you know, from when you're younger to start to do the things that you want to do. And you have to, you do put up with a ton of disappointment. You get kicked in the nards on a daily basis. Yeah. You know, my own experience, I lived in New York for 10 years and was trying to get fucking work and just got kicked in the nards. And then as I'd go down to wincing in pain from getting kicked in the nuts, I'd get kicked in the face. Oh. You know, like Jason, like you saying, like, the show's not, here's the benefit. You're fired. And then the next day, the show's fucking gone. And you're like, fuck, I didn't need those two kicks.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, and it's not once a year. It's like two, three times a week. For years.
And that's if things are going well for you, because those two or three rejections each week mean you got two or three auditions that week, which is really good.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying to feel sorry for it, but it is, right, Don? It's a tough, you do have to have a little bit of, you know, you show your mettle a little bit.
Well, for me, I'd sound like an idiot, Aaron, you know, complaining about anything about my acting career, because again, I'm super, super fortunate. I've never done anything but this to support myself. I, you know, got my first job when I was still in college, in my, you know, my junior year, I got a gig. I did get fired from a job. That was actually the first job. I got an AT&T commercial where a kid was supposed to be on the phone and sort of trying to dodge the questions that his mom was asking because he was not doing so well. She goes, how are your grades? And he's like, my grades? I can't hear you. This connection is bad. She's like, no, I can hear you great. And it was AT&T. You know, you can't fake the funk. You know, it's like one of those things. So I was going out of the door to do this audition, and the phone rang in the hallway, and I just kind of knew it was for me. And I picked it up. It was my agent. She goes, Don, bad news. They're not going to use you in the spot. Uh-huh. I was like, what? Uh-huh. Why? She goes, they don't want to portray a black kid as failing out of college. I was like, so they're going to give a white kid my job?
Wow. Yeah. The irony of that.
Crazy. That's what's going to happen. So that I actually did get fired from a job I got. That was the first one. But yeah, but for me, the acting thing has been, I've been very blessed, very fortunate, but the directing part of it. Yeah. It's been these particular experiences I've had, not when I've directed my show. That's a little bit more of a comfort zone, a little bit more support I've had, and a little bit more resources and people to rely on. But, you know, we made Miles Ahead for $8.5 million in a town that had, you know, only done one other movie before that, where we would show up and there was like no redundancy in the departments, you know. We'd have two cameras and only one cameraman. I'd be like, where's Phil? It's like, oh, he took a commercial in Dayton, you know?
Exactly.
Coming in one day and I was like, we had her in the scene. She's like, yeah, she didn't want to come today. I'm like, but she's in the scene. They're like, doesn't want to come. So I'm like, put this woman in the dress, turn her back to the camera. Like every day it was something like
always
that.
Always solving problems.
Yeah. But the problems that didn't make sense, like the fire alarm going off and then the actual fireman coming and coming in while we're shooting the scene. And so, okay, I guess we'll shoot this MOS and just mime all these things. We'll do it in post. I get, you know, just every day it was something like that.
My
wife came out to see me and she said, you can't do this anymore. You know, I lost weight. It was just, just bad. So I have a lot of scar tissue. So maybe if I get, you know, some sort of procedure where I can scrape that off, I'll try it again.
For the emotional scars. I have a question just about your acting style and approach, because when I first saw Ocean's 11, and which you were brilliant in, I'm not making this up, like halfway through the movie, because of your accent, I was like, oh, wait, is that Don Cheadle? Like, you didn't do anything to your appearance. You just changed your kind of way. I don't know how to describe it. And it's amazing what an accent can do. How did you find the trust to do that? Why that character like that? And how do you do that, like, in any character you approach?
It was written like that, and I was going to change it. Mm-hmm. And my manager at that point said, there aren't black British people. I was like, yeah. She's like, so why don't you just do it as how it's written? And I was like, yeah, fuck.
Oh, so it was written
I'll try it. And so while I'm in my trailer with, you know, a vocal coach, a speech coach, going over like diphthongs and schwas and stuff, they're out playing basketball. I'm like sitting in my trailer watching them play poker and have fun. And I'm like, you know, no, this word's no.
Sean, stand up. Sean, stand up real quick. Sean's wearing a diphthong. Let's stand up real quick.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice diphthong. But I was famously murdered. You know, people hate. People are split right in the middle on that. The people that hate that hate it. When I was in London, I almost had to get security because people wanted to kill me.
Your
based
accent?
On how bad they thought that accent.
Oh, the accent and ocean. Why?
They hated it and me. People literally drove. They would see me and come across four lanes of traffic to pull up next to me to scream at me about how bad the accent was. I was like,
oh my God, I totally bought it. I totally bought it.
Is it safe to say you'll never do another British accent again?
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, doing an accent, I believe that would be
takes a lot
very, very tough for me because you're acting twice, right? You got to do performance and you got to do the accent.
And somehow.
So would you make them pay twice, Jay? I know Jay very well. Would you make them pay twice?
I would like to.
What are you going
to
say, Dan?
No, I'm just going to say, and some of them, you know, fit better than others that I've attempted to take on, you know. But they're all, like you said, it's all tricky. Like you're kind of acting through a mask and you're trying to make that mask be as real and as facile as you can. It's tricky.
Right.
Now, all of these incredibly high profile films, which one do you think gave you the most useful bounce? Was it Devil in the Blue Dress? Yeah.
I would guess Devil in the Blue Dress was probably, I was on, Picket Fences for a couple years before that.
Oh, wow.
You know, I was 12th on the call sheet, and you guys know what that is. I'm sitting in the trailer all day, and they're like, we're coming up to you next. We're coming to you next. And they're like, oh, no, we're not going to use you today. And you'd been in the trailer for 12 hours. So I started writing. That's when I started writing, and just as survival, just to not go crazy.
But then along comes this film with Denzel Washington, and it was did you leave that project with any pearls of wisdom from Mr. Washington?
I mean, it was an incredible experience. It was directed by Carl Franklin, who I did his AFI thesis project. You know, his ASI, his graduation project. So I had known him from before. So that was really old home and felt great. And Denzel and I. From the audition on, which is online, actually. Our audition is online.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And so is that pilot that I mentioned, by the way. Find shit and upload everything. Yeah. But we just had a great time. And of course, I was just in awe of him and, you know, worked as hard as I've ever worked on anything to make sure I was in the pocket. You know, when I was with him, I didn't come out. I was super methody. I was not great character. Mm-hmm. I was mouse all the time. You know, I just stayed in it. And I had a great experience. I loved that movie and I loved that experience.
Would you, if you had a scene with because, you know, you're Denzel now to a young actor, if you were to do a film with it, what would you say to a young actor today that you wish you'd known back when you were just starting out? You know, anything.
Stay out of my fucking light.
Right. Exactly. Don't you upstage me or shadow me.
Don't you dare attempt to overshadow me.
But we do have a tendency to overcomplicate things, right? And things get more simplistic as we get older. You know, I wondered, aside from just that generality, is there anything specific? I'm trying to think myself what I would tell somebody, you know?
Probably step away from my BMW. Would that be something?
Yeah. Which of your BMWs, Mr.
That's a great, very good.
I just think that, you know, like I think people underestimate, you know, to what Will was saying earlier, is it what we really do. I think people think it's super, super easy and then they try it and they're like, oh, you're actually trying to be very naturalistic inside a completely unnatural environment where somebody's standing in your eye line chewing gum and, you know, somebody, somebody else is making noise off. Somebody's, you know, walkie-talkie's going off and you've got to act like this is the first time you've ever done or said any of these things. And
it's so weird.
I think that you only do that well if you're really prepared and you've really done your homework and you're not here just because you think it's going to be cool to cut line at a restaurant. You know, it's like,
this is really,
I'm not, we're not rocket scientists and we're not, you know, jumping out of airplanes or whatever, the hardest shit there is to do or ditch digging, but there is
but
a craft.
But we can play them.
That's what we play the shit out of. And we learn about them. That's another thing. Good actors are students. So we're always in the lab, right? We're always trying to, if I play a doctor, I'm going to read up on doctors. I'm going to follow doctors. I'm going to go to hospitals. I'm going to try to sit next to them. If I'm playing a cop, I'm going to do a ride along. I'm going to, so I feel like that part of it often gets overlooked, that we're always in school. You know, we're always trying to learn new things. So,
so true.
I think that's a great boon for us as artists, that we're always expanding ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, Sean doesn't want you to get away without, you know, searching your memory for a really a tough theater story, you know, like forgetting your lines or trying to
something
give, you know.
Anything going wrong.
A sandbag fell from above. And,
what?
And I landed in the first row in the woman's lap, and she said, you think you're drunk? Wait till O'Toole comes out or something like that. Right, Sean? Is that what you want?
You were at that performance.
Of course.
You were there.
That's exactly right.
But I said, wait till my Tool comes out.
Yes!
Double guns.
Yes! Donchalant.
Donchalant strikes again.
Fuck.
Is that you, Sean?
Oh, this is me singing, yeah. It's horrible.
Here we go. As I glide through the back
door. It's so bad. Okay.
Hang on,
that's
Sean,
enough.
Sean.
Is that tabla? Is that some tabla?
It's... Okay, that's good.
You
good.
Know what? It's like Jimmy Somerville from Bronski Beat was put in the back of a van and driven to Beirut and forced to make a fucking Middle Eastern dance record.
Jimmy Somerville in Beirut. That was the name of the album.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah. Did you ever see, by the way, Ricky Gervais's music videos or anything?
Oh, yeah. Those are tough.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. That's I'm similar path.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, do you have any like tragic, horrible theater gone wrong?
My tragic, the most tragic thing other than a real injury that I suffered during a play, same play, by the way, we were doing Cymbeline at the Public that Joanne Acolytis directed, who, you know, is experimental director from Mabu Minds. If people want to go back and look at all that stuff, she's great. But we had an actor, Stefan Schnabel, who played the doctor in this play. And, you know, it's a, you know, kind of a stereotypical Shakespeare fifth act wrap up where one character knows everything that happened in the play. Like, you're his niece. And she actually has the potion. Right. And this king knew him as a son. Like, they unwrap the whole thing. And we're all on stage going, oh, that's how I So he had this last, you know, speech that he had to give. Stefan was, I think, 98 at the time.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
So it comes time for him to wrap this up, and he goes up.
Forgets his lines.
Yeah, forgets his line. Goes up, forgets his lines, for those who want the theater vernacular.
Yeah.
And he starts stammering and making up words and basically just sort of like...
trouble.
You know, standing in place and teetering. And no one... you can't... give somebody in Shakespeare, you know, it's not, we're not doing something naturalistic. You can't come up with some, you could try to come up with some iambic pentameter and like slip a line in there to help him along the way. But it went on so long that first the audience sort of laughed and then realized, oh, it's not a bit, and stopped laughing. And then the other half of the audience laughed, and then half the audience shushed that part of the audience that laughed.
Yeah,
and then the actors on stage kind of were starting to laugh, you know, those two that would start to laugh, and everyone's like, shut the fuck up. And everybody stops laughing, and he's still kind of
trying,
you know,
still trying
kind of
to pull it off. He doesn't think anyone's noticed.
Trying to pull it off. This went on for probably 2 minutes. You know how long 2 minutes is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You guys have died for 2 minutes for sure. collectively on this show.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, it feels like a long time.
Yeah,
but
it's a long time.
And she finally, says it's not.
Joan Cusack, who was the lead in it, who played Cymbeline, just finally just started saying his lines. She just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, just
and he
over.
Kind of revved up and got through it and then got off stage and he said, I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
I have to quit. Yeah, I never want to.
You're like, you're 98.
Again.
There's no point. Sorry.
Yeah, you're going to be dead soon, I guess, is what Joan said to try to, like, you know, bolster his ego.
Good Lord, yeah. That's the scariest thing.
Wow, fuck.
It was it was really sad.
Going up in your dialogue like that on stage.
It's the scariest thing in the world.
Right? There's just nothing.
You don't need that crap at 98.
There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nowhere to hide. Right. But now, Don, you're like one of the sweetest people ever. What pisses you off? Because I can't, the few times I've met you, even today, you're always just very in the middle, very cool, calm, collected.
Gummy,
is there some program. What's that?
Gummy.
I said I'm on that gummy program.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet he's not happy when he blades a bunker shot, right? You hit that ball right in the belly coming out of the sand trap. You're never
happy. That's what pisses you off.
Yeah.
Immediately, but then I kind of let it go, you know. I think, like, stupidity without any desire to not be stupid pisses me off. I don't mind if you're stupid. People can be stupid. But when there's are, like, incurious and don't want to actually look under the stupidity and see where that stupidity
is
coming from,
that
kind of pisses me. And, you know, as we can see, it's incredibly dangerous. And, you know, we're in a sweet spot of stupidity right now for a lot of people, and
would that extend across all sort of areas, that sort of stupidity, like whether it's history or language or just geography, even basic geography of states and cities within the country that we live.
Where a city was.
Yeah,
and
like
where
they
a team
don't know
where
a city is. It's been explained to them like
feels
five
like a,
times.
This feels like a like, shot. This is definitely hey.
No. I think Will's just trying to use
it's general. This is very general. Okay. I'm just trying to get a general sense of what time.
Yeah, because Sean, remember earlier in the show. And I have a problem with Kansas
Well,
City.
Ignorance isn't wrong. Stupidity. You know, ignorance is anyone can be ignorant, you know.
That's true. Anybody can be ignorant. Thank you, Jason. So, Don, honestly, you've been a dream. You're just you're such a cool guy. We've never hung out. We threatened once. I was on a, Joey Russo wanted me to get into football fantasy league. And I said no. And Joe said, well, just stay in the chat and talk shit, even though you don't want to play. And I did for about 6 months, I think.
Really?
Yeah, you were in there. You were in there.
Was there.
It was great.
Don and Pratt and Rougeau. And yeah, it was fun.
It was a lot like this, just like pot shots from the side.
It was
like,
a lot of pot shots.
Oh, there's Will.
Well, you know, Will, you and Don should go out and play some golf while I'm on my golf hiatus, and then I'll rejoin you guys in the end of fall.
What happened? Why are you on a hiatus?
I got some.
He's
work.
On a hiatus because he's working. He shot an even par 70.
Yeah, but
two weeks ago.
But who cares, really? It's not a big deal. But listen, thank you for joining us today, Don.
Don, will you make me this pledge when you come back that you and I will play? Can we do that? Can we say that'll happen?
100%.
Okay, great.
He's the absolute greatest.
Sean, do you play? This should be the foursome.
I always say I could drive the cart.
He loves to drive the cart.
It's a date. Yeah,
it's so much fun. We get him a soda. We get him like a float, like a root beer float, and he drives
Donnie,
the cart.
Next time you're...
A soda.
Sometimes it's Shirley Temple, but it's a lot of sugar. It's a lot.
That sounds so
He's very
good, by the way.
Groggy, and by the 17th hole, he's kind of irritable, a little grumpy.
Guys, it's good. Just pick it up. We got to go.
That's totally me.
Love you, Don. Thank you for saying yes.
Yeah, love you, pal.
Enjoy the rest of your day down there in Atlanta, and say hi to our friend Mr. Hart, please.
I will. Thanks, guys. Great seeing you today.
Yeah, great to see you, dude.
Thank you, Don. Bye, buddy.
Yep.
I love Don Chalant. It's so good.
JB, what a great
he's
guest.
The best.
God, he's so good. I love
Doesn't
that
Don't
dude.
Your shoulders just drop when you're talking to him?
Yes.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's such a
mega talent. He falls into that category. Mega talent.
And universally loved.
And We say this all the time. It seems like the people who work all the time also have wonderful personalities.
People. Yeah, I agree.
Like, they're kind.
Well, Jamie, you know, you're a director. It's big part of your career now and your life. And when you're deciding between, you have a lot of options to do stuff with a lot of different people. And part of the calculus, I imagine, is who do I want to spend the next 4 months with?
It's huge. For sure. It's before I even start to get excited about the idea of them coming on. And that's cast or crew. I'll do Zooms with people that I may not even see on the set. And I just need to know that they're not going to, wreck it with their not being nice people.
Yeah.
Important.
Yeah.
But he is he's amazing. I could have just gone on forever and ever. We didn't get to much of anything, which is what we do on this show. Sorry,
listener. We get a lot of complaints about that. I think that from some people who say like, "Oh, you guys didn't. You just," and what they forget is like, we're just so excited to see Don.
Yeah.
Right. So a guy like Don. So we just start talking. And
we're not journalists. We're not three dummies that want to just talk a little bit and can't believe anyone's listening. So
if you're like, oh, why didn't you get to what Don's favorite dog type is? We're like, sorry, we were just excited. We just wanted to talk shit with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right.
That's on the smart list extras. If you want to know his favorite dog type.
Exactly. Or talk about like vacation spots. Like, I don't know, like. Has he ever been to Thailand or Mumbai or like
Mumbai?
Oh, Mumbai! You glaze right over it, Mumbai.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Rob Armjarv, Bennett Barbaco, and Michael Grant Terry.
Smartless.